Longevity Research, Could It Turn Back the Clock in Long COVID and ME/CFS? By Court Johnson, July 5th, 2024. Could people with diseases like long COVID and chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS, be aging more rapidly than normal? Even if I don't particularly like the idea that I am biologically going down the tubes a bit faster than others, it fits with my experience. I still vividly remember 30 years ago watching some quite elderly ladies passing me, chattering away as I struggled to make my way down a walking path. The dissonance was glaring. Recently, a large review paper made the case that the biological process of aging has accelerated in long COVID. The paper, called Long COVID as a Disease of Accelerated Biological Aging, an opportunity to translate geroscience interventions, accelerated biological aging in long COVID, was produced by an interesting blend of Saudi Arabian, Egyptian, and U.S. researchers from the Mayo Clinic and Northwestern University. A new focus? The authors asserted that long COVID researchers should focus on fundamental processes associated with aging that have shown up in long COVID, such as chronic inflammation and immunosenescence, dysbiosis, mitochondrial dysfunction, cellular senescence, and metabolic dysregulation. How interesting that both ME/CFS and long COVID research is already naturally trending in many of these directions. Interestingly, the first instance of accelerated aging the authors pointed to was a post-viral one, HIV. About 15 years ago, HIV researchers began picking up signs that HIV survivors were aging more rapidly than normal. This showed up in an increased incidence of disorders associated with aging and biological evidence. Their epigenetic clocks, for instance, appeared to be sped up. Epigenetics refers to changes that alter the expression of our genes over time. The longer we are alive, the more epigenetic changes that occur. They also exhibit increased markers of innate immune-driven inflammation and immune dysregulation linked to aging. Increased levels of exhausted T cells, problems with natural killer cells, dysbiosis, gut flora dysregulation, mitochondrial dysfunction, all of which have been found in ME/CFS, and are also associated with aging. These have all shown up prematurely in HIV patients. Referring at times to ME/CFS studies, authors spent over 20 pages detailing what they believe are signs of increased biological aging in long COVID. They included, quote, increased levels of exhausted CD8 plus T cells, latent herpes virus reactivation, a hyperimmune response to those viruses leading to T cell exhaustion, dysregulation of B cells, elevations of the chemokine eotaxin, microglial activation, otherwise known as neuroinflammation, brain and neuronal injury, increased tau proteins and neurofilament light chain, gut microbiome dysregulation, leaky gut, mitochondrial dysfunction, including impaired fatty acid metabolism, perhaps produced by herpes virus activation, a shift towards anaerobic metabolism, DNA damage, reduced telomere length, and others, end quote. Potential treatments. The authors of the paper outline several treatment areas they believe show promise in turning back the clock, so to speak. Anti-inflammatory agents. The first anti-aging treatments focused, what else, on tamping down chronic inflammation, likely a key issue in long COVID, ME/CFS, and many chronic diseases. They proposed assessing treatments used to treat cardiovascular diseases like canakinumab and colchicine, and anti-inflammatory treatments that have been shown to extend lifespan in mice, such as etanercept, prostaglandin EP2 receptor antagonism agents, and NLRP3 inflammasome inhibitors. The good news is that inflammation has been identified as potentially a key mover in long COVID and many anti-inflammatory clinical trials. And you can see a list of those in the text version of the article. Diet. Given the link between gut flora, microbiome problems, and inflammation, it was no surprise to see dietary manipulations make the list of possible anti-aging therapies. The gut is often given short shrift in these diseases, but the evidence of its importance to chronic diseases continues to pile up. A huge 2024 type 2 diabetes gut study, which involved 10 pre-diabetes and diabetes cohorts in three countries, yes, diabetes has a lot of funding, concluded that changes in the gut came first and set the stage for type 2 diabetes. The lead authors stated, "Therefore, we are confident that the observed changes in the gut microbiome happen first and that diabetes develops later, not the other way around." The reduction of butyrate-producing bacteria in type 2 diabetes could not have been a surprise given the similar reductions found in other diseases, including take a seat, Gulf War illness, fibromyalgia, and ME/CFS, inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, colorectal cancer, hypertension, metabolic syndrome, type 1 and 2 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's syndrome, systemic lupus, erythematosus, atherosclerosis, stroke, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, and others. Eventually, I gave up. Every chronic disease I looked at featured reduced levels of butyrate-producing bacteria. Butyrate reductions are such a common element of chronic illness that one must assume that efforts are underway to find ways to boost them. Dozens of clinical trials are underway. The authors noted that the gut is receiving its due in long COVID and that probiotics, lorazepam acetate, a gut permeability regulator, and fecal transplant trials are all currently underway. Mitochondria rejuvenation. The authors pointed to the partial success of AXA1125 in improving Chalder fatigue scores in long COVID, but it's clear that while AXA1125 may help, much more is needed in this direction. The suggestions regarding mitochondrial rejuvenation were surprisingly sparse, but interesting. And you can link to an article on AXA1125 in the text version of the blog. The authors pointed to NAD+ and or its precursors, nicotinamide riboside and nicotinamide mononucleotide supplementation to combat NAD plus declines seen in aging, and report that NAD plus declines are a salient feature of ME/CFS. Nicotinamide riboside helped remove damaged mitochondria, reduce tau protein levels, and improve neuroplasticity in the brains of a mouse model of Alzheimer's. Urolithin A is a really interesting metabolite produced by the, gut bacteria. It's been shown to improve mitochondria functioning, clean out old and inflamed mitochondria, reduce neuroinflammation, reverse cognitive decline, improve muscle functioning, and prolong lifespan in laboratory animals. A recent study found that urolithin A was able to reduce inflammation and improve the cleanup processes in the brains of an Alzheimer mouse model. A blog on urolithin A is coming up. That was it for mitochondrial rejuvenation. Bye-bye zombie cells, the xenotherapeutics option. As we age, we tend to accumulate more and more senescent, mostly non-functioning cells, also known as zombie cells, that emit inflammatory factors, break down the extracellular matrix, connective tissue, contribute to telomere degradation, a sign of aging found in ME/CFS, and contribute to osteoporosis. Finding ways to clean out these cells and reduce inflammation has become a major focus of anti-aging therapies, and senolytic or xenotherapeutic treatments are being trialed in a wide variety of disease. Osteoporosis is, of course, a major concern in chronic diseases like ME/CFS and fibromyalgia, which primarily affect women and make exercise difficult. A recent Mayo study suggested the researchers are on track to help out at least some women with osteoporosis, employing a cancer drug called dasatinib and quercetin. which produced increased bone growth, but only at 2 and 4 weeks. It worked best on women with high rates of senescent cells. Studies suggest that fisetin, a flavonoid polyphenol, navitoclax, famotidine, a mast cell inhibitor, suramin, a pegilocatechin, gallate, tucatinib, anti-diabetic drugs, new anti-obesity medications, and dual GLP-1-GIP agonists can all help remove senescent cells. Interestingly, hyperbaric oxygen therapy is a possibility as well. Rapamycin, Rapalox, and metformin, enhancing autophagy and other processes. Autophagy is another garbage-clearing process, but in contrast to cells, it refers to cellular components. If damaged organelles, in particular the mitochondria, are not cleared out, the cell will suffer. Metformin has been shown in some studies to increase lifespan and protect against age-related disorders, probably through its ability to improve autophagy and thus reduce inflammation. It also appears to be able to increase gut diversity and, interestingly, reduce the risk of long COVID. Rapamycin's ability to extend the lifespan in several animal models helped to jumpstart the longevity field. Rapamycin's ability to do that appears to rest on its ability to reduce the number of exhausted T cells, a clear problem in ME/CFS, tone down MTORC1 activation, increase gut diversity, reduce inflammation, and enhance autophagy. Resveratrol, spermidine, and again, fisetin may also be able to enhance autophagy. A rapamycin ME/CFS trial is underway under the auspices of the Cimarron Research Foundation. Signs of accelerated aging in ME/CFS. Some studies have explicitly stated finding signs of accelerated aging in ME/CFS. A CDC study found evidence of telomere reduction. Back in 2013, Dr. Newton stated that she felt ME/CFS could benefit from studying aging processes. Dr. Klimas recently reported that the T cells in ME/CFS patients look like they've aged 16 years. A muscle study proposed that the muscles in people with ME/CFS had prematurely aged. The title of one paper, Endothelial Senescence and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, a COVID-19-based hypothesis, said it all about the possibility that the blood vessels in ME/CFS are aging. Fatigue in older adults was associated with basal ganglia dysfunction, which is found in ME/CFS and probably fibromyalgia as well. The homeostatic diseases. The authors ended by describing long COVID as a disease in which homeostasis, the ability to maintain biological stability, is under attack. When the body is in homeostasis, the system responds to a stressor and may bend under the strain, but then snaps back to normality. The authors refer to this ability to snap back as resilience or physiological reserve, which wanes as we age. Simply put, the body lacks the ability to recover completely from, in the case of long COVID and many people with ME/CFS, an infection. Something that happens during the infection impairs the biological mechanisms of resilience. While aging could be described as a disease of disrupted homeostasis on virtually every level, ME/CFS too has been viewed as a disease of impaired homeostasis. Nancy Klimas has been the foremost champion of the idea that a stressor, usually an infection, has pushed ME/CFS patients into an alternate steady state from which it's difficult to escape. The idea, though, goes way back. In 1994, Gray and Martinovic proposed that problems with fatty acid metabolism caused many homeostatic systems to become deranged in ME/CFS and held in that state by minor stressors. Niblett, 2007, proposed that urinary excretion and blood parameters data supported the hypothesis that alterations in physiological homeostasis exist in CFS patients. Gupta's 2009 model proposed that stress to the HPA axis had forced it into an alternate steady state that prevented it from returning to homeostasis. Reuter echoed Gray and Marinovic when, in 2011, he proposed that carnitine homeostasis was disturbed. Barnden moved the homeostasis idea to the brain in 2011 when he proposed that an insult to the midbrain, which affects multiple feedback control loops, disrupted local central nervous system homeostasis. Nancy Klimas's group's 2014 paper, called A Role for Homeostatic Drive in the Perpetuation of Complex Chronic Illness, Gulf War Illness, and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, proposed that men with ME/CFS were in an alternative steady state characterized by hypercortisolism, low testosterone, and a shift towards a Th1 immune response. Women, on the other hand, were caught in an alternate homeostatic state characterized by hypocortisolism, high estradiol, and a shift towards an anti-inflammatory Th2 activation. In 2018, Germain and Maureen Hansen found a disturbance in homeostasis of metabolic networks. In 2022, they noted that the numerous altered pathways present depended on a glutamate metabolism, which they called a crucial component of the homeostasis of many organs in the body. In 2023, Marx used the central homeostasis network in the brain to propose that the dyshomeostasis in ME/CFS and long COVID is caused by a chronic state of multi-system disequilibrium, including endocrinological, immunological, and/or metabolic changes. Note how often the metabolism and the stress response figure in these hypotheses. The upside: turning back the biological clock in ME/CFS, long COVID, and allied diseases? While it's a bit wrenching to think that, on top of all the other stuff going on in these diseases, one might also be biologically aging more rapidly, the good news in all this is that the longevity or geroscience field is booming. The interventions testing program at the National Institute of Health is dedicated to identifying the treatments that extend the health and lifespan of mice, and should be explored further. While mice are not humans, note that mice studies are often the entryway to human trials. Thus far, the ITP has identified dozens of interventions that might be able to turn back one's biological clock. Included are some familiar ones, such as rapamycin, fish oil, resveratrol, nicotinamide riboside, methylene blue, and, as well, some I've never heard of. Billions of dollars are going to fund longevity research every year. If diseases like ME/CFS and long COVID exhibit accelerated biological aging, they should benefit from the increased interest in longevity. $3 billion, for instance, has been invested in a company focused on cellular regeneration called Altos Labs. Altos Labs' explanation of its work sounds like it might relate to a disease characterized by low resilience and difficulty responding to stress. Quote, cells in healthy resilient states resist stressors that give rise to disease, but this diminishes with aging. Early experiments have shown that this ability to resist stressors can be restored. End quote. It was nice to see a long journal article dedicated to explicating the similarities between aging, ME/CFS, and long COVID, and potentially providing some new treatment options such as some immunotherapies and xenotherapeutics. We don't know if diseases like ME/CFS and long COVID are causing accelerated aging, but if so, they stand to benefit from the interest in aging research. Health Rising's quickie summer drive update. Thanks to the over 180 people who have brought us about 60% of the way to our goal. This is Health Rising's first blog on longevity research, but with that field exploding and with so many biological similarities between aging and ME/CFS, long COVID and allied diseases showing up, it won't be the last. We're committed to keeping on top of all the possibilities. If you appreciate our attention to this and other new areas, please support us. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. You can give a one-time donation at the link in the text version of the article.